Well, 2018. In song Jeez. Form.
Oh. Now condensed to a 7-second video.
That's right. Hello. Welcome to Lavos. Welcome to the Cubicorn News Podcast.
Hands of Fate.
My name is Dustin Morbido. Joining me in meat space, in the flesh, Lorraine Morbido is here.
I am.
I could reach out and touch her. I might.
Please don't.
Close.
No.
Bop.
Ah.
Oh, no.
Also joining us
ethereally.
Live on the internet. That's right. In the upside down.
Yep.
Watching the Christmas lights.
Yeah. We're putting their Christmas light speech through a text to speech program
mm-hmm.
that's monitoring
yeah,
it via webcam.
Stephen Hawking, like,
yeah.
It's so great to be.
Why don't I have one of them?
Kyle McGrath is here.
I am here. I will not make that Lavos noise again.
Cool.
And Philip McGrath is here.
It is so great to be here.
Toss it in the garbage.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Yep. I think most operating systems, like I think the
Microsoft Sam.
Mac OS had it for a long time, but I think Microsoft has just a built-in.
There was one.
You load up the right EXE, you can just type out stuff and the robot will speak it back to you.
I vividly remember that in XP, but I don't know if I've done it in like other ones.
Mm-hmm.
We were dumb children. We made it say stupid things.
Sure.
Butts.
When you played with the computer program and say, right, butts. Fart, poopy.
Sometimes you just got to type boob into your calculator.
999.
Anyway, how are you guys doing?
Your stunned silence is very reassuring.
Speaks volumes, yeah, really.
I believe the State of the Union either just ended or is ongoing.
Probably just ended. I didn't actually check when it started, but...
Nope.
State of the Union is... It's on fire.
Right. So it's just like,
No, it's... Everything is fine.
Oh, yeah.
This is the greatest presidency.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. It's just the Yamcha crater, except it's all of America in the hole. So, there's that, but...
And could be worse.
I mean, yes, it could be worse.
It could be North Korean.
Yes,
but they
absolutely.
Might fuse with South Korea again. Things might be looking up for North Korea.
I don't expect that to happen in our lifetimes.
I mean, it's not much, but I'll fucking take the littlest sliver of the Olympic collaboration. Like, it's the smallest sliver possible, but it's better than nothing.
It is better than nothing. Absolutely.
2018, it's better than nothing.
The alternative is worse.
Yeah.
Yes. Agreed.
I am kind of looking forward to the Olympics.
I keep forgetting that's happening.
I still like the...
I'm with Lorraine. I mean, I haven't forgotten that it's happening, but man, I don't think I care.
Like, it just keeps, like, sneaking up on me, basically. Because I know it starts, like, the week after the Super Bowl, so it's like, bam, bam.
Right.
Sports.
Mm-hmm.
Sports.
Yeah, I like it for the same reason.
Annual events.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like it for the same reason that I like whenever the speedrun marathons roll around. Is if you're bored and you want to watch something weird that you don't usually watch, you can always put it on for about 30 minutes to an hour and see something that is uncommon, and then go back to living your life.
Mm-hmm. It's good background noise.
Although all the best, especially in the Winter Olympics, all the best sports are the ones that you have to like. Queue up online streams for. It's like you can only watch so much figure skating before
yeah,
I get it. They jump
right
and
if you're watching on TV, it's gonna be figure skating, hockey nonstop.
But if you want to watch people cross country ski and then shoot rifles,
yeah, that's my favorite one.
I just had to look that up.
What is that one called?
Biathlon.
Yeah, you know, two great tastes that go great together.
it's the weirdest thing, and I love
very
it.
Strange.
Curling is also very fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, it's them screaming. Like, they throw the thing, and then people, like, brush the ice ferociously all the while someone is shouting at them. Like, it's phenomenal.
Is there a sport where there's a greater difference between the intensity of the players and the visualization of the sport?
Probably. Not that I can think of, at least.
No. I can't think of one.
It's really something.
I mean, people yelling at golf is kind of dumb.
But do people yell at golf? Isn't the opposite of what you're supposed to do in golf?
People seem like expressionless zombies when they play
golf. Maybe.
Like, you get, like, a fist pump when they, you know, nail a putt or whatever. They'll just be like, yeah.
No, I mean, like, after the shot, like, the crowd kind of does it a little bit.
I mean, I haven't watched enough golf to be able to tell you one way or another, that's honestly.
That was frequent background nonsense at my house on occasion. Mm-hmm. Some of my family likes to golf. Bowling comes
close.
A little bit.
Because bowling has the quiet of, like, you know, everyone's chilled out, and then there's not a noise, and then, like, the building sound of the ball rolling down the lane, and then that automatically makes a crash, and then, you know.
You also don't want, you probably haven't watched enough bowling, because once that release happens, there's all kinds of fucking shouting.
People guided in with their words.
The hysteria is coming from the actual competitors, which is very bizarre. While it's ongoing,
right?
Curling, it's not beautiful like a celebration.
Exactly. Because it's not just intensity of like rush, it's not like harder, it's not only it. It's not only the raw energy of just like being all adrenaline up because you're physically active. Mm-hmm. It is literally part of the game. Like they're conveying information and they're doing it in the most intense way they possibly can to make sure that they get the point across and that they're heard.
They'll never convince me that they're not all just being handballs.
Mm-hmm. It's like after the play was called in football, if the quarterback just kept screaming instructions to everyone until they threw the ball.
Sometimes that does actually happen, but it's mostly just like clock management type stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's really hard to hear and to see because they're so far away and they're obscured by helmets.
Curling is a little more intimate because it's like one person is moving. It's like one piece is moving at a time as opposed to like, what is it, like 14 people at once for football, either side, like both sides combined?
22, to be technical.
Whatever.
Right. So it's
a whole lot of bodies.
Yeah. There's a lot more going on at once as opposed to three people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Silent ice rink.
Yeah. I definitely still want to try curling someday. There's places not that far where you can do it from
us. So close to Canada.
Right. Yeah. There's like curling leagues and stuff. Like I wouldn't go that far, but you can go to like an ice arena in the right town in Michigan and get your ass some curling. Which I still would love to do at some point. I don't know what kind of gear you need to bring yourself, if they'll like rent you, you know, your stones or whatever. I'm assuming that would be the case.
If they had a probably. Like arena or whatever, rink? I don't know what you call it. Field? Whatever. Pitch? I don't know what
rink.
The little
we'll
like
go with that.
Yeah. Well, like the like specific like the just the like shuttle board.
Right, yeah. Shuffleboard track of ice.
Yeah, I don't know what that's called.
Mm.
If it's just a rink or whatever. I'm too lazy.
It is probably BYOB, so, you know.
Sometimes they might have,
special
like,
curling
stuff.
Shoes. It's like playing racquetball. We're like, don't bring your Nikes in. I want you to scuff up the ice. Yeah, I like weird winter sports. I just saw a thing today about...
It's called a curling sheet.
Okay.
That the Winter Olympics are fighting losing battles on two fronts. The first one probably most obviously being climate change.
Mm.
And the second one being that like demographic shifts are such that as white people are diluted in society, winter sports have started to lose their luster, it turns out. So, you know.
I never considered that.
Neither had I, but it makes sense.
I mean, you knew they were going in that direction 6 or 7 years ago when, you know, half pipe and snowboarding became events.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
The appeal to those trendy Gen Xers.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I'll watch some Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
Be a good time to turn on every once in a while. I also might play some video games in the not too distant future.
I have one more like connecting thread between the Winter Olympics and video games.
All right,
the last time 4 years ago when the Winter Olympics were happening, I was going through Final Fantasy IX on my Vita, and I remember playing a lot of that Chocobo minigame while watching the Olympics because I wanted to get the Ultima Weapon. Got to get that good Chocobo.
Peck peck peck.
Oh, I like that game. The music is so good. But anyway,
it is a good piece of music. A terrible game.
Bama del Flamenco. It's much better than Chocobo Breeding. I would rather do that than breed and race Chocobos, because that I've done that, and that's, mind-numbing. I can at least somewhat zone out while playing the Chocobo search game.
Quah.
But would you rather breed and race Chocobos or Chows?
Depends on if I have a VMU or not. If I can take them with me and... feed them like a Tamagotchi, then chows. Otherwise, chocobos.
I'm not sure if I have a horse in that race or not. Because I only played the Only Adventure 1,
mm-hmm.
not 2, and only on the GameCube.
Yeah.
But I did, I think I did connect it to the Game Boy Advance, so you could kind of do the VMU thing.
Yeah.
With that.
The VMU was a wonderfully stupid... The best thing about the VMUs was that the Dreamcast controllers had slots for two of them at once. Mm-hmm. Each controller, for some reason, I'm still not even necessarily sure why, like, I think maybe just so you could expand the capacity and have data, like,
maybe
see the image on the front one. But
did anything ever utilize that?
Like, two at once?
Yeah.
I don't think so. But, yeah, I'm... Oh, no, never mind. Now I know what it... Now I remember why it was, which is even stupider. If you wanted it to rumble, I think you had to plug in, like, their version of the rumble pack, and then also a VMU. so you could
save
your game and have the controller shake.
Built in.
I'm pretty sure that's true. It's been a bit, but...
Because they were... It was 2000, right?
99.
Whatever.
Close enough. I mean, close, but...
Star Fox had been out for, like, 2 years. First instance of rumble. You'd think so. I mean, I guess it's Sega, so... They don't necessarily do things good sometimes.
Hmm. Dreamcast was kind of their a lot of creative stuff software wise going on, mm-hmm. but hardware, it was their last gasp, so you know.
The death throes.
A lack of rumble in the controllers, maybe not their highest priority coming off the Sega
Fair
Saturn.
Enough. Everything should have been their highest priority coming off the Saturn, but we don't need to get into that right now. We can
anyway,
get into other things.
What kind of video games have you been playing, Lorraine?
I've been playing Digimon.
What's the title of this game?
It's really dumb. So it's this. So it's Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth Hacker's Memory, because it is a...
How many colons are in there?
There's no colons.
It's just those words.
It's
all a big string.
It's six words.
Okay.
Because it is
it's bold.
It's kind of like a Gaiden, like a side story. Like it happens parallel to the first game, Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth, that came out like 4 years ago, maybe. On the Vita and mm-hmm. PS4, but it's completely different characters. It's still happening in Tokyo, so you're going to quite a few of the same spots, and you kind of like are interweaving into the first game story.
Mm-hmm. I think I already said this not on the podcast, but so it's basically like the second Golden Sun game.
Sure.
Okay.
Kind of, but that was still also a separate thing. You didn't really do anything from the first game in that one.
Yeah, but they're like parallel.
Right at the end.
Yeah, they're like. Anyway, keep talking.
And so the funnier thing was that I didn't know this going in. You can import save data from the first game, which I did because they're both on my Vita, and it basically kind of like filled in the game's equivalent of a Pokedex for me with all the information that I had procured from the first one, and gave me some extra bonuses for having both the games and stuff like that. Which has not necessarily made it easier. Like, it makes my information gathering easier, because I'm not just, like, filling in everything all over again. And I got some decent items for getting all the dumb little collectibles, because I platinumed that first game. Much to my dismay, because the online stuff was not fun. But it's more or less, almost, aside from the story, like, the exact same game. You're doing most of the same things, which is fine, because I liked that first one. But there are some new stuff, for better or for worse.
How close is it to, is it more like, Pokemon, like, X to a Pokemon Sun, or is it more like a Pokemon Sun to, like, an Ultra Sun? Like, is it more of a, is it more different, is it more of a
it's
sequel,
the
or?
The exact same engine, so okay. I don't know exactly what, I'm still kind of, because... Like I said, it's
just
not
like they change minor stuff about the presentation at a minimum, and like usually there's at least
really
a new mechanic or two. Like they added Z moves and stuff like that.
Now,
is there anything like that, or is it just the same, basically entirely the same functionally with new content, like new?
It's
you
more
know,
that
characters
than
and,
like
yeah.
adding stuff. They added like I think 100 new guys, or maybe not 100. It's more like 50 or 75 or something like that. It was like about 300, and now it's almost like 400 guys that you can in total get.
So Digimon has not kept up with Pokemon.
Oh no, it's way surpassed that. They like they don't put all of them in at once. Like there's
okay.
no real like giant like overarching like Pokédex equivalent. They're just kind of like compartmentalized.
So whatever ones are here or here.
Yeah.
They don't have like unique IDs.
Oh no.
Like there isn't
no,
like
no, 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 no.
If I asked you what Digimon 286 was,
no, there
you can't look it up and tell me.
There's nothing like that. That just doesn't exist because they add stuff for like because of its weird start as, like, Tamagotchis, like, there was like a core few, and then with every weird like new guys get added with a card game, different shows, different games, like there's a million ways for new Digimon to be made. And they just kind of like, oh, whatever. Like, that, there's no reference to it. It's just kind of like, oh, here's some dudes. Who cares? Which I think is kind of cool. Like,
I mean, it's fine. It's just weird.
It is very weird.
Because that,
a lot of it's very strange.
Everything I know about that franchise is basically I have learned through osmosis from you. But its origins and, like, the way that it's been handled are very different from Pokemon. Where Pokemon has been basically entirely centralized creatively at the Pokemon company, and then kind of spread out from there.
I mean, it has been Bandai the entire time.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they, like, the big Pokemon games are made by, you know, Game Freak. They're made by those dudes, whoever still works there.
Big Digimon ones are made by Bandai.
Let me finish my thought, and then you can tell me if this is actually accurate or not. The thing that I was getting at, because this was a conversation we had after, God, I don't remember what we just watched. We were talking about Digimon, probably I think because the game was coming out. It was that Summer Wars movie.
Oh, yes.
Because
a very good movie. It has nothing to do with Digimon, but a guy who directed and produced like some of the movies did that one, and it's stylish and really cool.
Because I had basically asked you like a similar question to the thing you just described of, like, where do all the origins of all this Digimon stuff came from? And you kind of said, well, you know, somebody will make some manga, and then they'll introduce some characters or some Digimon there. They started out as those weird electronic toys. Mm-hmm. Somebody will make an anime and maybe sprinkle in some new stuff. Somebody might make a video game or two and just add something to the pot.
It's not just like they're giving it out to people. It's Bandai's putting out. There's like 7 different seasons, I think, it's all been Bandai directed, like. And I think Saban, I think, is the one who's normally been doing it. The company or whatever, who's been producing it or something. They're doing the games. They've been doing them since... They might have started on the Wonder Swan, which is the only reason why I know of the Wonder Swan is because I've looked up this stuff out of curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
They've been on like a little bit of everything. PlayStation 1, Game Boy Advance, DS, PSP.
Do you have any idea of that game?
What?
Or what one's very near to it? The Wonder Swan game?
Are they all
similar functionally to the game you're playing now?
That I'm not 100% sure, because a lot of the earlier Digimon games were a little more like Tamagotchi virtual pet-like. Like the first like Digimon World game.
Feed a thing and clean up
its
poop.
Yeah, for the PS1 was that. I don't believe that was the first. Like, it was the first console one for sure, I know that. And I think the other ones might have been, but maybe a little more RPG-y.
Okay.
Because this is just like an RPG. Like, it's a little more, it's even kind of Persona-y, like, you've, in a sense, where you're, like, collecting these dudes and powering them up on your own, and they level up and stiff.
Do you fuse Digimon to make more powerful Digimon? All right.
You can feed them to other Digimon if you want to, loading their data. I did do some actual, like, DNA evolutions today. I got a really big dude. I'm going to make more because I have dudes who are all very strong, and I'm getting very close to the end of that game. But I'm enjoying it.
Indeed.
Having a grand time.
Mm-hmm. Is it always in those games, is it, in terms of the protagonists and stuff, is it always like Japanese teenagers? Or is
basically.
It like younger kids, like those earlier, like the first Digimon series where it's like 10-year-olds, like Pokemon?
I think some of the earlier ones, like, because I never really played the PS1 games because they're very, like, rare and expensive now. And B, we didn't have a PlayStation 1 at the time, so I had no way to play them. But I think they were slightly younger kids. The ones in these games are just teens. They're in high school. Shrug. You don't go to high school.
Digital monsters?
Yeah. But, yeah.
How are you liking it?
I like it a lot. I haven't been paying as much attention to the story.
Fair enough.
Because a lot of it, there's... Like the big sweeping story bits I do pay attention to, but a lot of like the quote unquote like busy work in that game is doing like side quests because you're part of this like hacker organization and you're taking on people's random problems because that's just what you do. And those ones I'm just like buttoning through the dialogue because I don't care because it's just inconsequential like garbage. There's no real like big choice swing stuff. Like it's a very linear thing, which is fine.
I feel like the older I get, the more I button through dialogue.
Yeah,
it depends on the game. Yeah, but
it really does. But yeah,
especially if it's something like a Pokemon or something where you've played a version of that game like a bunch of times before, and like
it definitely doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's like even
if you're not playing the game for the story, I basically kind of just ignore it.
Even if the dialogue is like. You know, like, the well-written and, like, the localization's good. Like, a lot of the work that the Treehouse does or whatever, you know, and stuff like that. Especially on, like, the Paper Mario games and stuff like that. When it comes to, like, as that same example, like, a new Pokemon release, I mean, I'm probably just going to mash through, like, the professor telling me about the world of Pokemon and asking me to pick a dude because I know what the score is.
Yeah.
Like, I got it. Just get me to the point where I get to make the menu option go. But, yeah, that's fair. And it... definitely depends on the game, but I find myself doing that a lot, too.
I think for me, if I'm doing that in a game, then it's probably just not a game I want to play. Like, I'll bail on the whole thing before I
That's understandable, though. I can see where you're coming from.
And then I think that's what happened to me with Pokemon, too. Just, I don't want to do it. I know the score.
Yeah, and it depends on like the primary reason you go into a game, too, because I found myself doing that on and off. Like, sometimes doing it like almost immediately, and sometimes, you know, just depending on what what my mood was at the moment, taking my time, and some of the, like, latter-day Fire Emblem games.
Because
mostly, I'm there to watch the little dudes smush into each other and
I want the chessboard, not the anime.
So, like, I would even go, like, on a map-by-map basis where I would read a couple lines of dialogue, and if it just looked like it was about to drone on and be, like, nothing worth absorbing, then I would just mash it out until it let me go to the map and fight.
Sure.
But, yeah, it's a weird thing. It's video games are... At least for me, the interactive part is a little more important than the linear story, narrative part for most of the time. Mm-hmm. There are exceptions to that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there are a lot of games that are almost all of the experience is just seeing the story that they have to tell.
An example that immediately comes to mind for me is Undertale.
Sure.
You don't want to necessarily skip that dialogue. Like, it's got
some of the interaction stuff in it is really clever, but most of what it has going on is a lot of the stuff they wrote and the clever names of things and, faux show.
Woo-woo.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. Any other thoughts on Digimon, like, in general? Or I mean, glad you're liking it. Liking it more or less than Ultra Sun?
Oh, more. More.
May or may not ever play again?
I don't know. It's taunting me for my 3DS, which sits next to my Vita on my table.
Necessarily. Like, you gave it a real college try. So if you're not like feeling
20-ish it. 20-ish hours into that.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily go back
close,
to it.
I'm so close, though. I just want to finish the story. I'm on the last island. I'm going into ultra space or whatever, and it's just
do what your heart tells you. I'm just here to let you off the hook if you don't feel like going back to it. Like, just
I need my support group. I haven't booted up yet, but because I had a PlayStation like 10% off coupon that was going to expire tomorrow, I picked up VVVVVV on my Vita.
Nice.
Which is a game I've played before, but like I think I'm passing on your like 3DS or something like that years ago, but haven't really gotten into. And there's a game that's like no story and all just have fun with gravity or whatever.
Yeah, I like that game a lot.
Music is so good.
And it's like such a tight... such a simple thing of just like the mechanic you do is... You tap the button and you flip from the bottom of the screen to the top of the screen. It basically just flips gravity and makes your little dude attract to the opposite surface. Yeah.
It's real cool.
And then they do, like, it sticks around just long enough that, like, they...
Yeah, it's really short, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not long. Yeah, like, you can beat it in, like, an hour. If you're really good. Like, that's like... there's a lot of screens in that game where you'll die, like, 40 times before you get to the end of it, but...
I'm looking forward to trying that out at some point, like, actually trying to get through all of it, just because it's... That's something I have enjoyed from a distance, but never really just got into, just for one reason or another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that game's neat. And I like you said, the soundtrack is... That game has some of the best chiptune tracks I think I've ever heard. There's some really catchy shit in there. It's pretty awesome.
Do you own the soundtrack? I thought you got it.
I have it. I don't remember if I purchased it correctly or found it by less less scrupulous means, but I do have it. I actually put a lot of... I think I stole like two or three songs from that game and put into like a couple of the student project games we made just because I enjoyed hearing them.
That I associate with your bigger game design 2 game because that was the first place I really heard it and I helped you test that one level a lot.
Yeah. It's a cool-ass thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's neat. Yeah, you'll have to let me know how that goes after you get into that a little more. Because I played the crap out of that game when it was much closer.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it had just come out still, but whenever it came out on the 3DS, like, or even the DS, I don't even
know. No, it was the 3DS.
Ages and ages and ages ago, that's when I
played it. It was just on the eShop.
Yeah, it's been a bit.
If I remember correctly.
But it's still awesome.
Yes.
Kyle.
Ah.
What have you been up to, video games or otherwise?
Napping.
Cool.
I mean, that sounds good. I could go for a nap.
That was a good Monday. I finished Breath of the Wild, the whole shebang, all of it.
All the new stuff, too? Like all
the stuff.
Nice. You got your motorcycle?
Yep.
How is that? Like, how does it feel?
Not as good as a horse.
Huh.
I mean, okay.
I like it in concept and in practice a lot more than the horse, but you have to hold A to go, which is cumbersome when you want to do anything on your horse or on your bike. But I got to take some sick screen grabs of me like popping wheelies on Ganon.
Sure, yeah, jump
as
off
one
of.
Does.
Yeah, doing Brodies in the Hyrule Castle parking lot, just cranking it out. It's pretty good.
What did you think of the sure, go ahead.
The dedicated like the extra like quote unquote dungeon content, like the shrines and stuff that were part of that.
Felt good.
Okay.
I mean, it is kind of like just an extension of what was already there, just more of it for the most part. There are some new things too.
Cool.
Between like the new DLC 2, the Champions Ballot is divided into about three parts, and then the first part is kind of a stealthy thing almost where you can't get hit. The second part is more of a traditional do shrines and stuff, but then you play all the bosses again, but in a more challenging mode where you just get a specific set of gear and
So kind of like the Trials of the Sword almost type thing,
right? Or the Eventide Island, I think. So yeah, you have to do those with, you know, very limited weapons and ammo, and then in the third part is the fifth dungeon or the new dungeon or whatever.
That's more than I was expecting, actually.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
And that last thing is straight up, like you go to a map and like fiddle with stuff, and like it's like the four dungeons in the game.
It's
proper.
Like any of the other Divine Beasts. It's just
right on
a new one with a new boss.
All right, cool.
I recommend it.
I mean, if you like Zelda, it's definitely something I would have picked up.
Yeah, I have it.
I think we lost Phil.
Oh dear.
Doesn't take too long.
Yeah.
You guys keep talking. I'll see.
I definitely want to get to that. He'll always find his way. I have finished. I went around and did all of the original shrines, and I've really been like the times I've picked up Zelda again. I really want to do more, so I'm glad that there are more of. There's more of that specifically.
I think there's 16 new shrines. Hello. That sounds right.
Neat. That brings it up to like 136. Is that?
Yeah.
120. I think
some
it is.
Of those are just, you know, combat.
The combat are. Oh, you got here. Good for you.
Right. Congratulations. Here's a chest. Here's an orb.
Do you get more orbs from those new ones, or is it something else?
Four new orbs.
Okay.
You'll be able to unlock one new thing.
Like another, like the last freaking heart, because there's just like. Or
you
no.
could just cash in some of your stamina, and then you could have all the hearts.
I have everything. I got all of them.
But if you want more hearts, you have to trade in your stamina.
What?
But there's a way to convert them if you decide you spec'd badly.
Oh, it's weird.
Is there like a character you talk to? I didn't actually know that either.
Yeah.
Is it in just the DLC stuff or in the game?
No, it's always been in the game. It's a statue in that town that isn't Kakariko.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
neat.
Weird. Huh. Even if you've gotten all the orbs?
Yeah. I don't remember how it functions exactly, but it just basically converts your stamina into hearts or vice versa.
Because, I mean, I've got three circles of stamina.
Yes, you maxed your stamina, not your hearts. Shame on you.
I need to climb stuff. Now I can max my hearts. So, joke's on
you. Which is very important for doing the sword trials, which weren't that bad. I mean,
I'm just bad.
The quote beginner set was maybe the hardest one.
Really?
Yeah. The other ones ramp up in such a way that you kind of get a lot of momentum, and by like halfway through, you're just kind of running over them. They're still hard, but
that freaking
you're not
Lionel
really in
man,
mortal danger the entire time.
I got just destroyed by him every single time I got to him in the expert one.
There's two tricks there. The first is just learn how to fight Lynels.
I do know how to fight
Lynels. And the second one is you can kill anything with a Guardian Arrow.
Huh.
So depending on what challenge you want. But even, like, just the fact that you can kill things with Guardian Arrows, like, trivializes a lot.
Does it just one-shot them?
Yeah.
What the fuck? I didn't know that.
Right. I didn't either until very recently.
Huh. So you just... any hit on him, or is it like a face?
I don't know if it has to be a headshot or not. Mm. I never actually did it.
Interesting. Maybe if but, I yeah. try that again.
If you just want to skip that one.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I do.
It was probably... I mean, there's that one, and then on the last room, there's a Lynel and, like, 20 things on horses.
Oh,
and
my God.
A guardian that's shooting at you.
Oh, my God.
Like, one of the stationary guardians.
Jeez.
That one's tough.
That sounds awful. I still don't even... How many floors are in the expert one? Because I only 20. Ever... I always ended at that Lynel. I could never get past him, the first one.
That's about halfway through, or two-thirds way through. That's two-thirds, I think.
Ugh.
The last set is really easy, because it's just all Guardians, and it gives you more than enough Guardian heroes to wipe them out, but for
still,
the most part.
Jeez. Ugh. It's rough, man.
Well, yeah, that first one that ends with, like, the three Lizalfos in the water, like, that's really tough, because on expert mode, they're recovering health. And
oh, yeah, that's right. Really, you played it on expert. That's right, I forgot.
Unless you're really playing carefully, you hit them into the water, and it takes them forever to get out, and they heal all their damage back. It was stupid.
I'm not playing on that.
It's worth the challenge for me.
Eh. I'm just playing Zelda to have a good time.
This isn't about having a good time. This is about conquering my limits.
I don't need to do that, though.
I like it. I like.
Putting yourself out there. I respect that, but yeah. I'm not. It's not for me.
Sure.
That's also why I don't play, like, Souls games. I don't need that in my life.
Yeah, I've never successfully played a Souls game.
I've played Bloodborne, technically.
Played them, but not had much success.
Nope.
Can always go back to Bloodborne, Lorraine. Mm. I know how much you enjoyed that the first time.
I mean, it's not that I didn't enjoy it. It's that I was terrible at it, and I don't think I have the temperament for it.
Yeah, it does take a very specific tolerance for failure. Because those games don't have, like, a non-fucked mode for the most part. Like, you just kind of... you are either down with getting killed, you know, 30 times, and then making a little progress on the 31st, or you're not.
Let me tell you about one of the boss fights in that Yee's playthrough that I did, that was on the night on nightmare mode. You're going into it with extremely, like, a character that you haven't really leveled up, because it's part of, like, a weird, like, side branching story, because she hasn't joined you yet, and it's, like, the last boss of her thing, and it was impossible. I did that fight, like, 30 some times until I eventually basically had the dance down, if you will. God, that was frustrating. Limited healing. I had to, like, basically perfectly administer those heals, spreading them out so they lasted the entire fight. It was rough, let me tell you. But I did it.
I think there's something to be said for stuff like that, where you have a limited amount of resources or time or whatever, and you have to succeed or find a way to succeed given the restrictions. As opposed to a game like Zelda, for most of it, you know,
just
after a certain amount of time, you have 100 stacks of food, all the weapons, all the hearts and whatever, and nothing really challenges you. Which is also why, like, they have a number of things, not just in the DLC, but other things where, like, that Eventide Island, where it kind of hits the reset button and makes you go back to square one in terms of collecting things and starting over and challenging you.
Mm-hmm. And part of that actually reminds me a little bit of something that the game Rogue Legacy does. That game is just, like, it's kind of a roguelike dungeon crawling 2D platformer. I don't know if you know what that game even is.
Never heard of that.
It's really cool. And it's like, you're basically, when your character dies, you take over one of their offspring, and they have, like, you inherit, like, a skill tree, basically, like, that is persistent over everyone, and, like, weapons and armor and stuff, but their individual traits are different. Like, some of them might have different weapons, or they could be really small or enormous, and they could, like, be colorblind or something like that. They have weird different little things, but they've got these bosses. There's, like, four of them hidden throughout this castle that you're exploring, and once you beat them, you unlock a second version of that fight where you're thrown in with a very specifically spec'd character and weapons, and you have to fight it, basically. Like, it's the same every single time when you go into that room after beating them, and they're very hard.
Mm-hmm.
That I have not done in that game, unfortunately. I really liked Rogue Legacy. That's a good game.
Is that a PC Steam game?
No, I think it's on PlayStation. I played it on my Vita.
Yeah, among other things.
It's on a lot of stuff.
I don't know where it came out first, but it's on probably pretty PC. Much every console
PS4,
platform at this point.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I don't think there's a Switch version yet, but all that other stuff that's been
it's
out for...
It's kind of old. It's a handful of years.
Yeah, it probably came out like 2011, 2012, if
something
I had to
like
guess.
That.
It's good. It's
been out for a bit. I enjoy that game. It's a fun time.
Mm-hmm. It's a cool thing. Don't
What's
know.
Dustin been doing?
I guess I'll get into it. Hopefully we'll get Phil back, but maybe not. I think he's got internet issues, but I have primarily... Well, I'm trying to think. The only thing I really put any time into was Dragon Ball FighterZ, which is still a pretty cool thing. Like, man, that game is fun to look at. if nothing else, it is really pretty. But yeah, I'm kind of digging it. It is
Have you tried any of the online?
No, not yet. I still want to. I almost did this afternoon and then just didn't. I had other like work stuff and stuff to get into, so I just I didn't quite have the time. I basically just played a few more story mode matches and then called it an afternoon. But yeah, I like that game a lot. It's another it's definitely an anime fighter. Like first you probably want to be into fighting games at least a little bit.
Sure.
If you're going to play this game at all. Although I guess if you just played the story mode, what I'm finding the story mode right now is that unless they change it at some point, it is like butt easy. Like,
okay.
Even after it warns you, Lorraine saw me like I was.
Oh,
story
yeah.
mode takes you to this little map where like it's kind of like I'm trying to remember in terms of old Dragon Ball Z games that involve fighting.
Like...
It's kind of like Budokai 2, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think
where the story mode loads up these little maps that are just like nodes connected by lines, and on various nodes on the map, it'll be like, there's Vegeta, you can go fight Vegeta, and, you know, a couple of his friends. There's a Yamcha, you can go fight a Yamcha.
Vegeta doesn't have friends.
And depending on, like, if those are unique encounters, like if that's the first time you've seen that character or whatever, there might be, like, a story cutscene explaining what the hell's going on, and then you beat the shit out of them.
As you do.
But as you advance there, like, they basically populate new maps of, like, those little nodes with little encounters on them. And one time when I queued one up earlier while playing today, Kid Buu showed up, and it was like, oh, Majin Buu's here, and he's fucking really strong, so you better be careful before you fight him.
And it was like...
And I went in there, and it was like...
You ended him.
Yeah, I basically pushed one button until I won that battle.
It was very
battle.
Startling.
I was like... Because it like brought up that text box, and I was like, oh, shit, maybe this is where it really pops off. And
like
no,
they,
not even a little.
Because like the characters have like levels, like you're making them stronger as they fight. So Dustin's like team, they were all at like level like 2 or something like that, and he was at like 15. I'm like... Point that out. I'm like, oh shit! Like something's going down. Nothing went down.
Yeah,
he got literally thrown in the garbage can. Like,
And all that leveling up stuff. Basically, like you can get a little more health, or like there are stats behind the scenes for the story mode only.
Okay.
Or as you advance through it, you increase your numbers as you beat up dudes and you know, win fights. Although, like I said, it's been so simple. Like the enemies have been so easy to defeat that I haven't really found it to be.
You
know,
you didn't have
getting upgrades. I haven't found
problem.
Getting upgrades to be very meaningful since it's just been really easy to take dudes out.
That's good
so far. Which again, yeah, maybe
like grinding the hell out of the story mode.
Yeah,
that's, the more I think about it, the more that's probably for the best.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are just a Dragon Ball fan who's maybe not invested in fighting games specifically, at minimum, what you probably want out of that experience is to play through the story mode from beginning to end and just be able to advance through every fight.
Just like absorb the. Content that's there or whatever,
yeah,
because that's probably what you're there for.
Mm-hmm. And the production values,
like an arcade mode like similar to Street Fighter.
They do. There is an arcade mode too. So the story mode is a linear thing. Like I said, where that basically populates those little maps, and as you select stuff, every once in a while it'll drop a cutscene on you, or it'll sit you down with some characters, and they'll have a little conversation, and then you fight. And there is
Tien
also
chastise Goku because Piccolo's a better grandpa than him. That was an interesting cutscene.
Yeah, one of them was just Tien and Goku talking about
like a clone Piccolo that's just sitting over there.
Yeah, and they're talking about how Piccolo does much more work being Pan's grandpa than Goku does.
So I guess that puts this in the super timeline.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Yeah, I mean, there's super characters in it, right?
And Hit.
That's and Black Goku.
That's right.
I'm surprised that they would even try and put it anywhere on the timeline other than, you know, all these characters are existing in a blender.
Sure.
Fine,
they make reference to the two characters that were dead and are back now. Like, the first thing that happens is you're talking with Bulma about how shit's popping off because Cell and Frieza have returned, mm-hmm. and Android 16 shows up, and they were like, weren't you blown to bits? And he's like, no, I'm a different Android 16, but I am Android 16.
Well, you said there's something weird going on, like okay, weird, yeah. Like
so I will get into
dimensional
the
garbage.
The way sure. that game there's starts clones. Is yeah, the way that game starts is I don't think that they're like. They don't think they explicitly state it, but it's so obvious that it's definitely the thing that happened. At least, like, from the first cutscene. A few cutscenes later, they do get into it specifically. But that new character, Android 21, makes a device that creates waves that, like, go out from the device and suppress the fighter's abilities. And they also make them susceptible to being possessed by roving spirits. Because that game internalizes the fact that you are a player controlling these characters, not that you're, like... So you're not inhabiting Goku and making him do stuff as Goku. It literally just describes you, the player, as a soul that has taken Goku's body over from him at the start of that game. Because right. Goku opens his eyes and Bulma's like, are you in there? Like, you're not Goku. And then you're like, who the fuck is Goku?
What's a Goku?
The dialogue options they give you are two different versions of who the fuck is Goku.
Wait, it didn't say what's a Goku?
No, unfortunately.
Oh,
that would have been better.
They dropped the ball.
Right. And then it spirals out from there. Which is, so that's like totally crazy. But it is, there is way more to it production value-wise than I would have expected, because they use the 3D models in every mm-hmm. single like cutscene, and they're always animated to some degree. Like, I would have been, what I would have expected going in would have just been, like, you know, more standard headshot cutouts with a little bit of text, you know, before any given battle, and then you beat the shit out of somebody.
But no, yeah, it's like full cutscenes.
Fully voiced, like, in both languages, so you can play in English or Japanese and get, like, every single line of dialogue is voiced by the characters mm-hmm. that do those voices in their respective territory or whatever. I am enjoying it so far, and I think if you are just, like, a raw Dragon Ball fan, you'd probably get enough value out of it just, like, with that stuff. Combined mm-hmm. with just how flashy it is, because it is probably the best looking DBZ game ever made. Like, almost by default, considering a lot of them were made so long ago. Mm. Like, those Xenoverse games are sort of new.
Right, depends on how you feel about those Xenoverse games.
But they're just not quite as flashy. Like, this has a level of style.
Yeah, those. I played
that. I really appreciate
handful. Not a handful, a decent amount of the first Xenoverse game, just because we had it,
mm-hmm.
and it. Doesn't look
like the cool thing about that game is nice. it is a functional version of what it is,
mm-hmm.
And that's like I'm not as interested in those. Like, I never liked those more free roaming like 3D like Dragon Ball combat games. They just weren't really my thing.
I wasn't good at it. That was real bad.
But this game, just like, so like, even when we were playing it over the weekend, when you get to like certain supers or whatever, or just specific shots that are framed with these 3D models where they're mm-hmm. they're like basically perfect one for one widescreen mm-hmm. HD recreations of individual shots in the show, which really is pretty fucking impressive.
Looks very nice.
Yeah, it is the like, it definitely looks like that Guilty Gear tech applied to Dragon Ball, because the last couple Guilty Gear games they made look like that too.
They're bananas,
you watch them in motion from the side, they are all polygonally driven, like they're all 3D models that are doing the stuff, but unless you really, like, squint hard at it, it just looks like a 2D fighter. And this is kind of like
mm-hmm.
like that to the nth degree in terms of just, like, pulling off the style of the thing that it's emulating. Like, it's a really good-looking thing. But yeah, I'm enjoying it, and actually, I finally did, when I played today, I got to use, a fight stick, because I finally got the little adapter or whatever.
How was that?
Well, we can maybe get into that in a second, Lorraine. But it's very good. In fact, it actually, when we were playing over the weekend, I think part of transitioning to the fight stick is just that I'm used to it for fighting games. Mm-hmm. But I think there's also a little bit more latency than I was expecting using a the gamepad versus using the fight stick. Like, it definitely feels just, like, fractionally less slow. Like, everything about using the fight stick just feels a little more responsive.
So maybe those problems that, like, Wade was running into pulling off certain moves.
Because I feel like I can tell the difference full stop, and then I don't think it's just that, like, the button inputs themselves
are
like
faster.
The throw on the buttons is a little different or whatever. I think it must be that having a wired connection versus using a wireless controller is just, like, the difference in latency is just enough that it actually feels smoother with the fight stick. Because I noticed a difference instantly, just in terms of it felt a little bit less, like, loose. I felt much more in control of every input I was putting in, whereas I think I'd said over the weekend, I felt like I had, like, an 80%.
It's hard to tell with that game. You're just kind of mashing buttons anyway.
That is true.
Yeah, and the combos and stuff are still totally like that, because it's just the way those systems are built, where if you just keep mashing a button, the characters are just kind of do shit. But I even mean from a, like, even stuff like inputting a dash or like doing jumps and stuff felt like ever so like slightly slower than I was expecting. Like, just there felt like there was a little bit of latency when we were playing on the game pads, and I didn't necessarily feel that with the stick, which is cool.
Yay.
But yeah, it's real good. And then I just got experimenting with what? Do you
wanna yes.
get into the fight stick thing.
Yes.
Situation fight specifically. Stick.
So, Dustin, because of just his past with just fighting games in general, he's got 360 like compatible fight sticks, and he's got Dragon Ball FighterZ on the PS4. So he picked up he was looking for this one converter that he'd bought one that was from like 360 to PS4 or whatever, or PS3 or whatever the actual connection is. Couldn't find it for the life of him, so he ordered another one. So today, he opens up the door on the back of the fight stick that has a cable in it. Guess what's on the end of the fight stick cable? That converter! So now he has two.
So next time this happens, you'll be set.
Mm-hmm. Luckily, I was thinking about getting a second one anyway. I was like, maybe I'll order another one from Amazon.
Fight sticks.
But now I just have two, kind of accidentally, so that worked out. But I did feel real dumb
when I
like opened the little compartment on the back of that thing to pull out the cable, and there it was
just connected to the cable.
Yeah,
a smart place for it to be.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And I was smart at first, and then dumb later on. But yeah, it's really cool. I like that game a lot. I'm interested to see. I haven't watched too much
competitive
fighting game stuff, period. Yeah, just in like, recently, it just hasn't been a thing that I kept up on ever since I fell off of Street Fighter, kind of after 5 came out, but even a little before that, I never kept up with 4, like through the end when that game was kind of running its final course.
You really gotta stay invested in stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. Like if you're gonna be either in those scenes or even like spectating them to a serious degree, you kind of just have to keep watching.
That's how they get you.
I do want to see, like, I am absolutely going to watch this game at EVO this year. Like, I want to see dudes who know what they're doing fucking go ham on each other.
At least once.
Exactly.
To stick around for a few years, but we'll see.
Yeah, because I can definitely tell that, and I think, like, the systems underneath are, like, close to as, like, good as they could do to just make it relatively approachable. My problem with Anime Fighters... Anime Fighters more specifically, but fighting games in general, is even when they simplify some amazing stuff, like this game simplifies all the inputs in the game, which I think is really smart, because there's basically, it's just all the buttons you can push, like all the face buttons, and then like forward quarter circle and back quarter circle motions are essentially the only inputs you need to play that game. You don't need any weird like Z-shaped uppercuts or like half circles or like full circle 360s or whatever.
I can do quarter circles.
But there's still just so much in there in terms of the number of different little fiddly things. Like when we were doing the tutorial with you or whatever, and there's like 4 different ways to recover from being hit in the air. And like, like there's just so, like, there's a density of shit like that, that, you know, people who have been into fighting games. Ever. Yeah, people who have been into fighting games super deep for just like a decade or more. Like, I'm sure they appreciate all that shit. But for people who are just, like, much more simple at games than that, like, it's just a lot to... It's a lot going on. Like, I wish they... And even, they even, like, so they have, like, supers, and they have all the tag stuff, just like Marvel, and they have their version of X-Factor, where you, like, push 2 buttons and activate a mode where you recover health, and then, you know...
Literally X-Factor.
Yeah, literally X-Factor. Like, even that... They even went that far as to add something like that, where, like, even just removing one layer of that stuff... I feel like it's just one less thing that you have to keep in mind, like that you have to remember exists when you're fighting dudes online and they eventually stop the shit out of you because they're just better. There's a lot going on in there, but I want to see someday. I want to see somebody make the Model T of fighting games. Like, it only comes in black. Like, there's just, you got punches and kicks and like two special attacks and that's it.
I think you want like NES fighting games.
But I want it to like move like a modern game. Okay. Like games that are that primitive, like I guess Street Fighter 1 is closer to that than like but you don't want to play Street Fighter 1. Like, fuck that shit.
It's also real ugly.
I mean, Street Fighter 2 is kind of that. Like, it doesn't, the original game doesn't even have like super moves and stuff. Crazy.
And they re-released it like 80 times.
80 times this year.
Yeah. Thanks, Capcom.
But yeah, it's very cool. I like it a lot. I will definitely play, like, I will definitely play more of the story mode. I want to say I'll finish it, but I don't actually know how long it is. So, like, if it's, like, 20 hours of content, I probably won't finish it. Do you have
to
finish it
to unlock those other characters?
You probably do? Yes, yeah. But and I do kind of want to see what's up with those, too, because the three characters that are locked are the Super Saiyan God, like, the blue Vegeta and Goku. Yeah, excuse me. And, Android 21. The new Android Flash character. Yeah. So I do want to at least see those to see if they're like literal palette swaps or if they're, I'm assuming they're a little bit different, but I would like to see how different they are from vanilla Goku and vanilla Vegeta. But yeah, it moves real well. It looks great. It's
fun to play.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, you know,
see how long the legs on it are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's about all you need.
I mean, from it kind a freaking of, like, game. Aside from stuff like Tekken, which seems to be doing pretty well for itself, it's kind of alone. Like, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite flopped pretty hard. Like, no one's playing that.
Yeah, and I mean, it's got...
Street Fighter V is still kind of struggling. Like,
I saw Soul Calibur 6 was coming out.
It was announced recently, yeah.
I might check that out at some point. It's been a fucking long time. Like, sure. I don't think I've played... I didn't really play Soul Calibur 5 at all, and I...
We picked that up not too long ago.
Yeah, I played Soul Calibur 4, like, the tiniest little bit. But,
I never really played any of those games. Played some of 2 on GameCube.
Games were fresher, when they were much newer and there were much fewer of them, those games were awesome.
There still honestly aren't that many, though.
Yeah, but it still feels like more than there actually are.
It was a sprint.
Because fighting games are so iterative. Yeah. Like, the strides are usually so small in the way that they change. Mm-hmm. And kind of by their nature, they have to be, because you don't want to, like...
Alienate.
You want people who played the other ones to not be able to play them. Yeah, like, you don't want to take all
of... But that's
not
a fighting game.
You don't want to take all of Keelix's moves away and make everybody learn, like, entirely new everything.
Who's that?
He's the stick guy.
He's the guy with the gambit.
The guy with the pole. Yeah.
Okay.
He's in the one demo I saw for this.
Right.
That's the only reason I knew what you were talking about.
Is the Lizardman still in this game? I like the Lizardman.
Who?
There was a lizard guy.
Literally Lizardman?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I think his name was that. There was, no, because when I played 5, there was a crazy lizard dragon guy, and I had fun playing as him.
Reptile?
Not quite. He had wings sometimes. I don't know why.
So that Final Fantasy fighting game just came out.
The game looks too much.
It looks, yes, there were numbers everywhere, and I didn't know what any of them meant. I liked it in concept, which is it's a 4v4 fighter, or no, it's a 3v3 fighter.
Yeah, it's a 6-person disaster.
Right, so two teams of three just wailing on each other in a 3D space.
I think that's where it actually lost me, because if it was a little more like the PSP games, I might have been interested in it, because those were just one-on-one.
Right.
Which was more manageable.
But I think could be interesting because it has, like, team building and teamwork, and you can have a team of two guys.
Yeah. I just think that might be a little too much for me, like, just to handle.
Sure.
I was just barely getting by on that 1v1, man.
Sure. And that kind of game is, like, I might, I don't know if...
I don't know if I'd fork out,
like, full price for it, but, if that game was, like, $20 in a year or two, I might get into it and try to check it out if it weren't if it weren't for the kind of overhead in that, too, because that's basically, like, an established genre game at this point. Like, Square's made a couple of those now.
Two.
And they, you know, they have a lot of systems and stuff. Like I said, even, 2D fighters is at least a genre that I've had experience with, like, since the Super Nintendo era.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, coming into games like this one, and even, like, Marvel and stuff, they have become so complicated that at some point they just, like, escape me completely.
Mm-hmm.
And a game like that, where I'd, like, come into it raw without a real background into it, that would be, like, my... like, the point where I think it would get me is just, like, I think there'd be a lot, so much going on and be so unfamiliar with it because I'm an old shitty man. And I'm not sure if I can find, like, the bandwidth in my mind to get into a new, like, genre game that's that specific.
I don't know how complex these games actually are. I mean, from what I watched, it seemed like you just flew at a guy and
it's
shot magic at him, and that was it.
It's not that bad, because the thing that... The biggest, or I guess the weirdest part about it is that there's, like, two different types of attacks, where it's, like, you're building up this number by hitting them with a certain type and then actually attacking their HP with another, with that number in mind.
Mm.
So it's basically just kind of shifting between those two, because you lose your, like, without that number protecting you, because you whittle it down, you whittle your opponents down with, like, those attacks, so you're basically stealing numbers from them.
Mm-hmm.
And then attacking their HP with that. But once you do that, you lose yours and are susceptible to, like, even the smallest attack will hurt you pretty bad. It's really interesting.
I'm surprised that they are so so determined to steer away from just a health bar.
I mean, there is one, but it's just under a weird... It's Final Fantasy. What do you want?
They like their weird meters and their weird gauges.
Just more. More gauges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to know what the, like, what the following is for that game specifically, too. Because that I have no context of. Like, do people play that at, like, a competitive level? Probably. Like, people play everything. Maybe. You look around hard enough, you'll find people playing anything competitively at some point.
That's the goal if you're developing a game now. Is it will it be an eSport?
Right. Especially, I mean, if it has a 1v1 element, or, you know, even, like, a team-v-team element, then yeah. And I think that game, like you had said, Lorraine, which I wasn't sure of, but might still be the case, because I didn't bother to check back in on it, that, like, that might only be, like, playable, like, 3-on-3, like,
it
multiplayer
looks,
I'm fights.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have, like, computers with you.
Sure.
Or whatever,
but, I mean,
but yeah.
You can't do, like, a just my cloud against, like, just your squall or whatever.
That's what the first games were, was just that, which I think is, like I said... where they're losing me with this new one,
because
that's too much.
Yeah.
For me. I can only handle so much, and there's already so much going on in these freaking games.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, I think, rolling it back to DBZ, the last thing I'll say about Fighters is, I think that game is, like, just on the bubble for having currently enough characters in it to support it going forward for a little bit. And part of that for me is, I think, the fact that they made it a 3-on-3 game versus a 1-on-1 game. Because you basically churn through the, like, freshness of the roster three times as quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you have those team-up games. Because, you know, if it was just 1v1, you'd be like, all right, I'll pick Goku and play him for a couple hours. Mm-hmm. And then I'll go just pick Vegeta and play him for a couple hours and whatever. But having it be a 3-on-3 thing, you always will be playing three characters at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of, like, churn through the freshness of seeing every character for the first time much more quickly than you would otherwise. But I think there's, like, 24-ish or so. So it's not, like...
All right.
The numbers-wise, it's not bad. But in practice,
but
it feels...
It.
In practice, yeah, it feels a little shorter than, like, because
so
of the nature of the way that they built
it. They've already got you halfway to their grasp for dropping down $20 on their DLC.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be still, like, I'm still at least excited to see what characters they officially announce for that. Because there was that, we looked at that rumor list or whatever, where people think it'll be characters like Android 17 and non-Super Saiyan versions of Goku and Vegeta, which, like, those
Saiyan
are kind
Broly
of a bummer.
Super Saiyan Blue Broly and Super Saiyan 3 Broly and Super Saiyan 4 Broly.
I only want Bio Broly.
Good luck with
that.
One.
That's the only one
although
I
would
want.
Be an awesome... That would be an awesome costume option. They definitely should sell a Bio Broly skin. Oh, man.
It's the only Broly that's valid in my book. Bio Broly.
Right.
Because he's so dumb and gooey.
Cool.
I like the dumbest Dragon Ball Z characters.
I mean, that's fair. But yeah, I do like that game quite a bit. And I would say that either hardcore fighting game fans or Dragon Ball Z fans, for the most part, will not be disappointed by it. If you really just like Dragon Ball and truly don't like fighting games at all, I probably wouldn't pick it up.
Yeah.
But if you've, like, played a couple hours of Street Fighter, you know, every decade, and you really like Dragon Ball, I could see getting enough play out of this just by, like, beating the story mode and mashing it out. Because, like I said, there's something to be said for just the spectacle of hitting the punch button and watching the characters go nuts. Because it does have that custom combo thing, which is even better in like a Dragon Ball Z game than it maybe it was in their other projects, like the Persona stuff. Because the Persona game they made had that too, where you could just tap a single button and like the game would do a combo for you. In this game, it does that, but also it looks like Dragon Ball Z fighting action.
Yeah.
So you can just sit there and like hit with a punch and then keep mashing punch and your character will do awesome looking shit.
You'll win.
You'll win. but yeah, it is very cool. I like it quite a bit.
Neato.
And I guess recently there kind of have been a streak of pretty okay DBZ games, because like those Xenoverse games are not necessarily for me, but they're pretty well received.
Yeah.
Like the people who were into them liked them well enough.
I mean, some of the story stuff was kind of interesting. Like, I was just bad at it and got stuck and couldn't beat the freaking android, so I stopped playing.
You could do worse with original Dragon Ball stories than, like, leaning into the Trunks time travel thing, so...
You're a time cop with Trunks. He wears a bomber jacket for some reason.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
There's another Kai. Time Kai.
Time Kai.
Time Kai.
Basically.
I like it. That game's cool. But that's been about it for me. I don't think I've really played anything else. Little Pokemon Go every once in a while, but that's nothing to write home about. Do either of you guys have anything else you want to throw out there? I don't think Phil is going to be joining us.
Stand in for Phil and talk about Pokemon Crystal being out.
Lorraine, you could talk about Pokemon Crystal.
Just... I suppose.
I mean, I'm not the sucker like Phil. I'm probably not going to buy it unless... If it goes on sale, which it probably won't, because I don't think any of those other ones have gone on sale, I would pick it up. But...
In for another $10 shop purchase. I mean, that's fair.
I might pick it up because I never bought gold or silver.
Yeah, that's where I was at.
Because I understand why they didn't put it out at the same time, because they're awful terrible.
They want to double dip you.
Because I would have just bought that, but I literally just played gold. Like...
Yeah.
3 months ago or whatever, and I don't need more.
I mean,
I certainly wouldn't
rush out to get it. You'll know, like,
if you're just feeling
the itch one day, like 2 months from now, maybe you'll just be like, I could go for some Pokemon, and that would be a very easy way to play some very approachable Pokemon.
Yeah. I'd pick that up over Ultra Sun. but yeah, I mean, it's still
cool that it's out there.
Yeah.
Like you said, smart.
Crystal's real good.
Smart and evil. That they staggered it from the gold and silver releases.
Monsters.
But, you know, what are you going to do? Nintendo gots to get theirs.
Yep. Rude.
Did you guys hear about this, like, world record scandal? This guy who had a bunch of old Atari world records. They caught that he'd been faking most of them for years and years.
No, I didn't, but that's an awesome story.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy.
This goes like way back.
I was just going to ask how far back this goes.
Do you know nature of the cheating was? Was it, like... playing weird like hardware or software tampered with versions of the games, or was it like literally editing VHS footage or something?
I'll give you the story as you understand it.
Please
do. Watching one YouTube video and reading one article.
Okay.
Fair enough.
This goes back to the
you are an expert on this
days.
Topic.
So back then there was the arcade Twin Galaxies
dudes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right on.
Right.
King of Kong fame.
Yes. They kept like an internal track of world records for whatever, and they had their own process for doing it, where it had to be verified either through VHS or a referee, which is what they called themselves, had to see it.
Sure.
So this guy, I can't remember if I don't know if he was originally a ref or became a ref. Either way,
at some point he was involved deeper with the Twin Galaxies stuff. Got it.
And obviously, you know, they were smart enough to prohibit you from putting in your own records.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he had this other friend that was on there. So he got him to do it for him for a while. So he was just putting in random numbers as records.
That's great.
And they caught him eventually. But this other guy is currently in jail for, you know, pedophilia. So,
oh God! All right, well,
that story.
Yeah,
through this list of records, the one that he was most famous for was an old Atari Dragster game.
Man, that's...
So he shaved 300s off of a world record, and then people are going through it and like on TAS's tool-assisted runs, and like hacking apart the game's code and saying this is physically impossible to have this record. You can't possibly get this good.
That is the awesomest way to get caught with something like that, though. Like that's
the
so
robots
good.
Robots tell you no.
Right, but then they go through like all these records, and you know somebody'd have a record of 88,000, and his score would be 16 million. No one caught it. I mean, you know, they couldn't do anything about it until now. Somebody went through and
And sure, a lot of these are just like, who's ever going to bother to play like these most dumpstery of dumpster Atari games to even figure out if that's possible or not? Like, oh, that's great.
So yeah, if you're into that scene, it was like Benghazi this week, I think.
Man, that's really something.
But his email,
pretty much.
And the, and like everything in our modern era, that the dark twist at the end was even more unexpected and
right,
even more depressing. But man, that is some crazy shit.
I mean, it's interesting to me just as an observer to read about stuff like
this. Right, yeah, 100%. Oh, that is so crazy. That's if those guys, are those Twin Galaxy dudes still doing record keeping of some kind? Do they still kind of keep tabs on like weird old arcade games and stuff?
Well, yes, they are, because this whole story ended with all of his records being removed from their
archive. Right on. See, that's cool.
A nice big purge.
I appreciate dudes who are in it to win it, and you know,
I'm assuming
keep
you
up
mean
on
the
there.
Record keepers, right. not the guy
yes,
cheating.
Yeah.
On
the- no, the fact that those Twin Galaxy that there is still there are still people doing that. There are still people who are bothering to try to keep weird like record information for like ancient arcade games and stuff like that. Like that is awesome. Not the not the cheating or the
it sounded
the illicit
like
activity.
Upset that they were dragging their feet on this because he was a guy that they all knew and he was friends with most of them and stuff like that.
Well, and that's another like you know.
I mean, that's how he did it.
Right. I mean, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That part is not fun.
He was shady and had an in.
Sure.
That's all you need sometimes.
Although, I'll take, if the thing that they covered up was the scorekeeping and not the pedophilia, I'll definitely take it as a win.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I did no further digging on that side of it.
Sure.
I assumed it had nothing to do with this.
So we can't, speak to that either way, but I will also assume with no knowledge that,
MSU.
That they are not necessarily intertwined. That...
He went on to run for senator in Alabama.
Ah, Alabama. It all makes sense now.
Oh, boy.
Great.
That is a cool story. Thank you for sharing that. I might have to check out a YouTube video or two about that also, because that sounds neat.
So strange.
I mean, it hits the part of my brain that needs justice to be served to see him go down in the end.
Right on. I like it.
Your inner phantom thief.
Yes.
Maybe he got his heart stolen.
Nah, then he would have had to come forward himself.
Oh,
yeah,
he didn't get he got caught. He didn't. That's right.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember if they had any comment from this guy. I assume he's in hiding somewhere right now.
Oh, the like accomplice or whatever, the judge.
The guy that isn't in jail.
Yeah,
the guy that had the records.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Todd Rogers.
That is a name,
man.
A very boring name.
Yes, mm-hmm. A very boring name.
Iron Man's or Captain America's younger cousin.
Like fourth cousin.
Yeah.
Far removed from the New York Rogers.
The Alabama Rogers?
Yeah.
Rogers is... Anyway. What a thing. Yeah, I might check that out in a bit. That sounds like a fun rabbit hole to go down for 20 or 30 minutes.
I watch a lot of videos on just the world progression or the world record progressions really it'll go catalog the history of a speed run for a certain game.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually really good and detailed. Look up this guy's name. Summoning Salt is his YouTube channel.
Oh, that does sound cool. Like a chronology of like on this date or like around this time we discovered this exploit and that changed 10 minutes and off of the
cool.
That sounds cool.
It's exactly that. And there's Pokemon Red, Blue, Donkey Kong, Half-Life, Zelda, Sonic. They're all really, really good. He does a great job.
That's really neat. Say that one. That one
Summoning
more time.
Summoning Salt, I believe.
Summoning Salt.
Okay, on YouTube.
Yeah.
Check that shit out.
The YouTube.
Check that shit out.
The Ubtubs.
That sounds great.
Like there was one even this week that was even further micro analyzing one level in Super Mario Brothers and cataloging.
Cool.
All of the hacks and exploits they went through to shave off a third of a second on the time.
Cool.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, that sounds great.
As Dustin mentioned earlier, as frequent random watchers of things like S and AGDQ,
Right.
That's a interesting thing to like combination binge
of,
on a while.
Yeah, the combination of like the legacy and the behind the scenes of it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really neat. I like that a lot.
Sometimes they get into that in runs, specifically ones that are very technical, but it's not that's not always the case.
That's my favorite part of those, is when they can actually sort of get into the details of why things are the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
I understand not everybody does or even can.
That's always my favorite part, is when they get like, I don't remember which run it was in particular from AGDQ this past year, but there was one where there was like no like downtime. It was all like technical talk the entire time, and it was super interesting. I liked it a lot.
It's pretty neat. Right on.
Right on.
And unless you guys have anything else, I think we might call it a show.
I did want to mention the series we just finished watching, American Gods.
Oh, okay. Throwing it in at the last minute.
Yeah, that thing is nuts.
TV talk.
Yeah. It's like a Stars series or something.
Yeah, so it's in the, like, pay cable prestige television. It's
we
kind
bought
of
it
like
on Blu-ray.
You know, Game of Thrones adjacent, not necessarily in content, but in terms of like, you know, it's one of those channels doing like their series based on a thing. Because it's based on a book by,
I don't know,
Neil Gaiman, who was the author of the Sandman comics in the 90s, which I definitely remember people being into like at the time. I never actually read them. He wrote Coraline, which I didn't actually know until I looked this up after the fact. Like,
I could kind of see that.
You see that a little bit in the,
It gets a little trippy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that movie's a trip.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy who show ran the TV series is Brian Fuller, who did...
that name sounds really familiar.
He did a series called...
Yeah, he did a lot of, like, X-Men stuff.
Yeah, he did a series called Dead Like Me. He's in other TV stuff. He did a series called Dead Like Me and Pushing Daisies.
Oh, okay.
He's basically like the Tim Burton of television. He's just kind of a weird, death-obsessed dude, except he makes TV shows and not movies.
a lot of Star Trek episodes.
Yeah, but it is quite wild.
It's like, really bananas.
There's some stuff in it that's just plain awesome, and there's some that's a little labored.
Yeah.
Like, there's a few things that are so on the nose in terms of, like...
A little bit.
The symbolism or the point that they're making. Heavy-handed-y
kind of nonsense.
But it's super stylish.
Yeah.
And I have liked some of the other stuff that each of them has done in the past. Like, Coraline is awesome. I should maybe read the book at some point, because I like the movie a lot.
I didn't know that was a book.
Me either.
I was confusing him with Bryan Singer. He was the X-Men guy.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
No, that's fine.
Too many Bryans.
And yeah, I actually did like that other dude, Brendan Fuller. I think that's what I said before.
That was Brian.
I don't know.
Fuller.
One of the look up American Gods. You'll find it. But yeah, I like some of those other series too. Dead Like Me was kind of neat, and Pushing Daisies is cool for what it was. It's very it's much more like whimsical in a weird way. Like it's very like
actually,
it's very storybooky.
I never watched
but
I remember it being kind of trippy
people.
A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that show was kind of like like, you feel like you maybe took just, like, the lightest dose of acid. Just, like, watching it frame by frame. Like, it was very technicolor and very weird.
There are definitely some parts of American Gods that are like that, too.
Yeah. Well, and some of the stuff I wish they would, like...
Get more into.
No, some of the things I wish they would have dialed back a little bit, because they just range from being, like,
Are you talking
so
about that
ridiculous
bison?
To... Well, not even that, but just, like, when, I think it's one of those early sequences where, So the pregnant wife comes back and she's like fighting dudes.
I feel like
because of Game of Thrones, people have taken the opportunity to be on pay cable networks as if they build it to literally throw like buckets of corn syrup colored
there
blood.
Is like the blood is really, really fake looking in this show. Like, I don't know if it's just supposed to be super stylized or what, but it's like either, like, super CGI or, like, literally just, like, this is Kool-Aid being pumped through, like, a hose. Like, it's really
dumb. Yeah, there are literally a couple shots where it's, like, that was probably, like, a Gatorade, like a Super Bowl-ending Gatorade thing full of, like, fake blood.
There's one shot in particular. It's shown in two episodes because they show the scene twice. Where the main character just gets like a bunch of, it looks like Dustin said, like corn, like actual just like red food coloring corn syrup.
It definitely doesn't look like blood.
Dumped on his face in a super tight shot. It's the funniest thing. Like, it's not supposed to be a funny scene, but it's just like we both burst out laughing the first time we saw it because it looks so bad.
Splash.
Basically. Mm-hmm. And just like slowly going down his face.
Yeah, but it was actually pretty cool, and I appreciated that it was very short. Like the first season was 8 episodes,
but they're like an hour. So yeah. I mean,
And the basic premise, which I guess we talked through the other functional stuff around it, but
yeah.
The basic premise is it's a world where gods exist, and it's kind of an American like road trip story where this guy gets out of prison and he is recruited by one of the old gods to recruit other old gods to start a war with the new gods of America, which are basically manifestations of just like people shit that people are into in the 21st century, like technology and globalization and like new media. Like sometimes when they hit on that stuff, it's like on the nose and on point, and sometimes it's a little like ham-fisted.
Yeah.
I was entertained through the 8 episodes worth of that there were, so.
My favorite part is that George McFly is like the big bad guy, and it's hysterical.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the actor who played, not the character,
okay. But like, because I haven't seen him in like anything else. Uh-huh. I think didn't he go on kind of like a break?
I have no idea.
I don't know the full story here. The actor for Back to Future Part 1 was different for the other two movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is Part 2 and Part 3 George McFly. Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, because his face doesn't look that different and his voice is the same, and it's just like he's being so sinister, and it's like, ah!
I'm gonna say he's aged pretty well. He looks pretty good.
He looks good.
Like, he definitely looks like that dude.
Yeah.
Still in 2017 or whatever when that was show
older,
was filmed.
Like, yeah.
Crispin Glover.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
He was part one.
Oh, okay. Maybe that I might be getting mixed up then.
Yeah,
but,
we did just recently watch those
parts
movies.
Parts 2 and 3 is Jeffrey Weissman.
Mm. Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah, it is Crispin Glover.
They couldn't afford him for the other ones then. I guess.
There you go. Yeah,
he was too good for
priced
it.
Priced out. But yeah, like Lorraine said, his voice is just that's the way he sounds. So it's on that level, it's almost a little distracting.
It's really funny.
Because
like when he first showed up and I saw him, like, is that George McFly? And then it was like, ah, it's really funny.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you like weird fantastical shit and can kind of set aside your inhibitions for some of the parts where it is patently ridiculous, it was pretty good. Like I said, if it had been like 3 times as long, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
In like a single season, I'm not sure if I could have stuck it out. But 8 episodes was a good amount of content. Mm-hmm. We churned through it in like 2.5 sittings or just 2 total. I forget. But.
Well, because it was 3 discs, and the third one only had an episode on it, so I think it was just 2.
Yeah.
Because we just kind of turned it on and left it on for the rest of the night. Mm-hmm.
It was cool. Stylish as hell.
Yes.
There are some parts where that totally works. Like like I said, some of those things where it's just like, here are limbs and guts and the buckets of blood. Like that stuff, not so awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, it just looks a little silly. But there's some nicely well-shot
and like compositioned stylistic frames, and it's neat. It's an interesting like take on the concept of like, the gods of old are here, and they're doing fucking whatever.
Yeah, and some of the best parts of the, like, the story content and, like, the things that actually hit home a little bit are when they kind of just ruminate on religion in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of the dialogue there is much better than, like, some of the very on-the-nose interpretations of, like, some of the literal gods of these, some of the interactions of the new gods of, you know, the things that Americans are into. There's one, there is a literal god that is the manifestation of the right to bear arms in that show.
Yeah.
And it is fucking super over the top.
That is, I think it was Vulcan. He was an old god, but turned towards.
Well, sure, the place they take it in terms of like, you know, wagging a finger at you and teaching you a very valuable lesson is
maybe
beyond after school special for a couple of the times that dude is on screen. But,
that was a little much.
might check that out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of cool. Like, I would definitely give it a spin.
Which, like Dustin said,
seems weird enough.
It is really weird.
Yeah, and if you have... you can either acquire it via the way everybody does on the internet, you know, you right. find it lying around.
We won't tell you where.
Or you could also sign up for, if you've never activated, if you have access to an Amazon Prime account and have never activated some of their TV channel stuff, you can get like a week of like Stars and Showtime for free on
and just
there.
Stream
and you can
it.
Just binge watch, you know. I think this one was a Stars series. Like
yes, it is Stars.
There's ways to check it out. But yeah, it's kind of cool.
And it's on... Blu-ray as well, which is how we watched it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was worth the 8 episodes to sit through. Mm-hmm. There's some good shit in there and some really stylish some cool looking shots.
Really dumb shit.
Yeah, but which sometimes is just funny. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes it's unintentional. Oh, yeah. it's entertaining just because it's unintentionally hilarious, and sometimes it's just a little eye rolling.
Yeah, it's just kind of like
there's
that.
More good than bad. Like yes. I enjoyed it overall.
The only reason I brought it up is because it was more good than bad.
yeah, it's a cool thing. And with that, I think we will actually call it a show.
Woo!
Lorraine, thank you for hanging out.
Always a pleasure.
Kyle, thank you for joining us via the internet.
No problem.
And
change
Phil,
the future.
Phil, if you're out there, we will catch you next time, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was having some technical and some not so technical issues.
He fell into the mystery spot.
He fell into the mystery spot.
The dead zone. No. Garlic Jr.
You know, I never noticed how strikingly similar those two places were.
Indeed. Yeah, I think that'll do it. Thanks again, guys, for hanging out. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back in a couple weeks with more jibber jabber about video games and other such junk. So
it's true.
Mostly
junk.
Until then, we'll see you later, internet.
Bye.